With Gemara Shir, right? Not with Parsha? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We'll start with, I keep calling it Gemara Shir, we learn very little Gemara. We'll start with Hilchos Nida and go from there today. So, yesterday we started the sugya of trusting doctors in Halacha, right? To what extent do we are we allowed to trust doctors? So we pointed out that there are kama v'kama nafkaminas in halacha for the idea of trusting doctors. Hilchos Nida is one of them, but is by far not the only one. We pointed out that this comes up in halacha in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, in most notably in the Mishnah in the 8th part of Maseches Yuma, that chola, a chola ma'achilin oso al pi b'kiin. And what does it mean, al-pi b'kiin? The Rambam in Perashat Mishnah says it means rofim, it means doctors, that if a doctor assesses that the chola needs to eat, then the chola needs to eat. And even if the patient says, I don't need to eat, but the doctor says that he does, then he does, he needs to eat. And Hilchos Shabbos, and Hilchos Tuma, and Hilchos Trefos, and over here in Hilchos Nida, because it came up over here, in Si'iv Ches, where the Torah quotes from the Sefer HaTruma, that any refuah that you want to have from being Ro Adam Machzvas Tashmish, the refuah has to precede the Chazaka, right? Meaning the refuah has to come prior to having three times of Ro Adam Machzvas Tashmish. Once there's a Chazaka, then it's not so clear, says the Sefer HaTruma, that she'd be able to rely on a refuah L'shamesh achakach, even if it's a rofe mumcha, even if the person is an expert Jewish doctor. Beis Yosef then quotes that that is the shitas hasmag, the shitas hasmak, that they all agree with this sefer hatruma. But then he quotes Hagos Maimonios b'shem the Ritzba, that im omar la harofe shenisrapes mishameshes al smach diburo imhu Yisrael. That a Jewish doctor can be trusted if he says your problem's taken care of, you're cured. The Yerushalmi says neman rofe lomar kameh as a mumcha v'ripesi v'ashalish pa'amim, and therefore the same would be true over here. Now the mechaber in Sivches, and we mentioned this yesterday. This is what we closed with yesterday, I think. Mechaber over here in Sivches and Simin Kuf Pei Zayin. The mechaber writes, open here. If she wants to have a refuah, it's got to be before the chazak happens. After she's ready as a chazaka, then it's not so clear she can rely on refuah l'shamesh acharkach to have tashmish afterwards. That's the Torah b'shem sefer truma. But v'yesh mishamati ramal rofe yisrael nisrapes. But if a Jewish doctor says she's nisrapes, then there's a yeshmi shematir. But then, of course, if she sees that something actually physically changes about her, you could be summoned even al agoy. The mechaber writes. Good. So that is the comment of the mechaber. Now the shach points out in Sifkatan Chavches by the yesh mistapkin that kasva bach miu nira di imrofe zeh osarufu azu. That the Shach quotes from the Bach that if the doctor has a track record that previous women who were Roa Adam Machmas Tashmish were cured by this doctor and they've continued to be back with their husbands without any incident, without any problem, then you could be somech on him, even if this woman has already established a cheskas rodah machzvas tashmish umuteres shamish pam revias lachar arfua ad kal lashono. Wow! So the Shach suggests this very great chiddush that if you see that he has a track record of being able to provide a refuah, you can rely on that refuah, which sort of underscores something that is really relevant to this whole discussion, and that is that we got to keep our eyes open. Meaning, as much as there is a question of halacha, and we follow the normal protocols of determining halacha, we also have to use a fair amount of common sense over here. And that you already see in the Mechaber himself, right? The Mechaber himself said, If the woman sees she's not getting her period anymore, then the doctor did something, right? He's not lying. He's not, pretending to have done something when he didn't do anything. If you see she's not getting her period, obviously the doctor did something. So similarly, what the Shach is quoting in the name of the Bach over here is that if the doctor has this ability to make the Dam Machmas Tashmish go away, and he has a track record for it, she could rely on that. Now the Achronim understand that this works even if the previous woman was not Huchsuk Aliros Machmas Tashmish. Even if the previous woman that the doctor cured had only been Rav Machmas Tashmish once or twice, and she hadn't been Muchsuk, but it was something that was happening that is no longer happening. The Achronim are a little bothered by that. If you look in Chavz Das and the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva in Dibra Maschel V'Hinei Abach, that's famous Tshuva Chassam Sofer Kufayin Hei that we're going to be discussing. So they wonder why it is that we can rely on a refuah that happened without a Cheskas Isser for a case that actually has a Cheskas Isser. The Chassam Sofer understands that it must be the previous patient saw twice. Right, Chassam Sofer has this interesting. He tries to sort of walk a narrow line. He says, since two times is a chazaka, possibly, maybe machlokas whether two or three times is a chazaka. So the previous woman may have been already muchzekas as Radha Machmas Tashmish, not quite as muchzekas as you, but already muchzekas. So that adds another layer of suffix into it that would allow you to rely on that refuah. That's how the Chassam Sofer deals with it. In the Pisrei Tshuva, in the end of Sifkat Mamchas, he says also you have to use a lot of common sense as far as did she feel pain or did she not feel pain. That's a factor. It's not the only factor, but it's a factor in determining what happens. So now let's get into the general ne'emanus of doctors. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Nida. The Gemara in Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph asks the question about cases. You know, the context is the sugi over there is talking about a woman who is mapelas chatichos, these clumps of things, or kiminsaros that's just come out of her body, and we don't know, is this dam that is congealed in some funny way, or is this something else? Is it not dam? So the Gemara Nida says umi ika ki agavna. Is there really such a thing as mapelas kemin sa'aros, mapelas kemin klipos, these funny examples that the Mishnah gives? And the Gemara says, yeah, in. V'atanya, Amra Blazer Rav Tzadok, this chafez on beiz and nida, Amra Blazer Rav Tzadok, shnei maisim hela abba mitibin liyavne. There were two stories that they brought to Yavne to our attention. One was maisa b'isha shaysa mapelas kemin klipos adumos. There was a woman who was being mapil these red shells, ubohu v'shalu es Abba, and they asked Abba, v'Abba shol l'chachamim, and it went up the line, he asked the chachamim, v'chachamim shalu l'rofim, and they asked the doctors, v'ram lehem, ishazu maka yesh lo betoch me'eha, shem menem apelos kamin klipos, she has some sort of wound, and that's where it's coming from. Tati l'mayim, im nimochu t'meya. Throw it, put these klipos into the water, and if you see if they disintegrate in the water, then you know that it's real dam and that she's tamei, and it's not from this maka. Meaning they had some sort of test to know where this stuff was coming from. Vishuv maisa b'isho shaysa mapelas kamin sa'aros adumos, like red hairs. Uba v'shal les abba v'abba shal l'chacham v'chacham l'rofim. V'amalem shuma yesh lo b'toch me'eha shem menem mapelas kamin sa'aros. She has some sort of mole inside that's causing these sa'aros to come out, sa'aros adumos. Again, tati l'mayim im nimochu t'meya. So again, tati l'mayim, and that will test what kind of dam it is. So you see very clearly in the Gemara that if the doctors say that she has this issue and they did a test, being tati l'mayim, so that was a worthy test.
Is this test something that the doctors told them to do?
Yes, that's what it said. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. That the doctors told them. The Pashut reading of the Gemara is that the doctors advised doing this test. Now, there's a detail that has to be clarified over here because the Tshuva Sarash, Klal Beis Simin Yudches, raises the question that says Kashuli. He says this is a little bit difficult to understand because kivan shaba machnas maka amay tmeya hamrin perakol yada ra da machnas maka afilu b'tochim eni dasa tahora I'm sorry, that was a question that the Rosh asked, but that's not the one that I was interested in. One second. Yeah. So the Rosh says, I don't understand. If the dam came machmas maka, then why would she be tameya? Meaning, what the Rosh is asking, the way the Chassam Sofer quotes the Rosh, which is slightly different than the way it appears in the Tshuvas HaRosh, what the Chassam Sofer quotes the Rosh is asking is, well, wait a second. Once the doctors tell you that she has a maka, if you believe the doctors, why the need for a further test? Meaning, if the doctors actually have ne'amanus, then what's the point of the test? So it seems to, right, if they say that they have a maka, they need to do, then why do they need to do a bedika to see if the avchushin or these saros or these klipos melted? So that kasha that the Rosh supposedly asks, even though you got to look carefully at the Rosh in a couple of places, in the Tosfos Rosh as well as in the in the Tshuvas HaRosh, that kasha is dealt with by the Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer writes, "Vinei b'Tshuvas HaRosh hiksha ashas reish perakam apelas ma'ases uhel Rabbi Tzadok Mizrachi etc. Vehiksha HaRosh mimanavshach iaminu larofim lamali atalas mayim v'lo aminu lamashalu." Right? If you believe the doctors, what do you need the test for? And if you don't believe the doctors, why are you consulting with the doctors? They're not going to help you anyway. You're not going to believe them anyway. So says the Chassam Sofer, and this is a key line in the Chassam Sofer, V'lo nimtza teretz al kushizim. The Rosh doesn't answer this kasha. And if the Rosh doesn't answer this kasha, that means he's leaving makom for me to answer the kasha. And what's my answer? Umaram Lublin, he quotes, is nidchach bezos, and he says, whatever he says, avla emes yoredarko. But I think the truth is as follows. And here's the famous chilik of the Chassam Sofer. De'ein lismuch al arofim al guf prati. You cannot rely on doctors about a specific person and their condition. Mashahim shaftu besichlam al guf ze. Aval him ne'eman bedvarim klaliyim. You could believe doctors about general conditions that people have. Oh, this is a problem that people typically present with. But not that this person has this problem right now. Had they not consulted the doctors, even if they would have put the stuff in the water and it didn't disintegrate, it would have been tame, because dry blood is also tame. Because even though it's very uncommon to have such dry blood, and especially in such a unique shape and consistency like klipos and sa'aros. But when they asked the doctors about this woman, and they said, well, what this woman has seems like a condition that exists that a lot of people have. Well, I can't trust the doctors about this woman. But now what the doctors created is a thought in my head that this exists, that there is such a maka that exists, and now we can do an independent test to see if this maka, in fact, is what's afflicting this woman. The doctors told us that such condition exists, that there could be such a maka that produces such things. And now I could be told be matzui. Now I know that this is a common thing that exists. So now I see that if I can do a test and I can verify that that's the case, I'm not going to assume that these dry things of blood came from the makar and are actual damnida. So Harei Kaman says the Chassam Sofer, De'im l'smoch al harofe. El yesh lomar hasam bi'isud ha'araisa l'tarish l'gami v'achav yisrabban. Okay, then he gets into maybe that's only for din da'araisa, but this is the yisod of the Chassam Sofer, that about a specific woman you cannot believe the doctor, but about generalities, you can. Now, it happens to be in some Kuf Ayin Hei, in your day, the Chassam Sofer suggests a different answer. And he rejects it. He suggests a different answer to the same question. He says, L'chor nira, where is it? He says, Yer de Sfirle, he's talking about the Chuvus Radvaz, De Eina Rofe Nemen Elehechi di Evshel Levarer, Vahacha Evshel Levarer, De Bedika Lomem Rofe Eshet Zvarer. A different chiluk. That if there's a test to be done, you got to do the test and don't rely on the doctor. If there's no test to be done and the best evidence available to you is the doctor, then you rely on the doctor. Then maybe that's the chiluk. But Va'omrani, he says, Hagam ki ledina misvari yesh lodin kagona manal, de'en lam lerofe echidik levrurei. He says it's a very logical chiluk. Mekamakam lo nirali she dai be'er yishuv kushyas harashanal. I still don't think it's a good enough answer to the kasha. De'en lashana shas morakamasei. Because it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. Why doesn't it sound that way from the Gemara? I'm not sure. But he says it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, that it's Taluyan Efshel Levrurei or Efshel Levrurei. The Lashon HaShas doesn't sound that way, and therefore, Vanyolani Yastaiti Bezeh, Kfar Biyarti B'tshuva Cheres, that it's all based on Omer Hadas, whatever the Rofim say, is all based on their own Umdana, and therefore we can trust them about general things, but we're not allowed to trust them about specific things. There are a lot of achronim that disagree with the Chassam Sofer. But what's most interesting is that the Chassam Sofer is built on, or seems to be at least partially built on, the Yesod that the Rush asked the Kasha and never answered it. Now, the Rush wrote several svarim. In addition to writing Tshuvas HaRush and the Psakim and the Halachas of the Rush in the back of the Gemara, he also wrote Tosos HaRush. In Tosos HaRush, he asks the Kasha and answers it. So in Tosos HaRush, on the side of that Gemara, it's printed on the Gilyon of the Daf of the Gemara, on the side of the Gemara, he says that doctors did not say that this woman had a makkah. They themselves weren't sure. They said what the doctors in that case said was she might have a makkah. Meaning the doctors never verified that she did. Had they said that we are confident that she does, we'd believe them. But they were saying we need to run a test. We don't know if she has the makkah. So if the doctors tell you to run the test, you run the test. And then you believe whatever they tell you. Wow, that's very different than the Chassam Sofer. You wonder would the Chassam Sofer have felt the need to come up with his own approach about Isha Prati versus his Davar Klali if he knew that the Rosh himself had an answer. Right? The Rosh himself gave an answer to this question. So once we have the Tosos HaRosh, nothing really compels the Chassam Sofer to answer differently. Now, so what do we have right now? We have machlokas, if you can call it this, machlokas Rush and Chassam Sofer. Do you believe doctors about a patient? Rush says yes, if the doctors themselves are confident. Chassam Sofer says no. You believe them about medical conditions, they can educate you, but about a particular patient, you can't believe them.
Is there an opinion if you say that the advice to check by throwing the blood into the water was given by Chachamim or if it was given by the doctors? Because I saw that the Shimon HaLevi says Chazal gave that advice.
Right.
But we're saying and
meaning that's this machlokas, l'chora, right? That's this machlokas. Meaning, are the doctors themselves saying, we're not sure, do a test? Or are the doctors saying, no, we're sure, there's a makkah. And then Chazal Avalbikin went and did their own test. Right? That's the machlokas. Are we trusting the doctors just based on what they say? Or not? Right? And you have almost the same machlokas mechaber amar, really. Because in Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph, which talks about Dam and Meiraglayim, which is not an uncommon situation, we'll get there. The Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuvas HaRan based on certain indications that maybe she has a makkah also makom. So the Beis Yosef says, why does the Ran need to bring various rayas, whatever rayas he brings, that you can believe the doctor? It's an explicit Gemara that you can believe the doctor and that we're makel. Right? Meaning, with the Gemara we saw, the Gemara Nidachav Beis, they believe the doctor. So asks the Beis Yosef on the Ran, because the Ran tries to come up with other rayas for that situation, believing the doctor. And he says, V'taymen shal rofim bezeh, let me just see if I have an insight. When I typed it up myself, I made some typos. So the Beis Yosef says, V'taymen shal rofim bezeh, mipnei she'ein derech ha'isha lahapil k'min klipos adumos, or k'min saros adumos. It's not normal for a woman to be mapil these types of klipos or saros. Lefi chacham lushein safik shemi mako shuma shemeya hein ba'in. So he said, it must be that it comes from mako. Va'afu b'sheinu margeshes b'mako b'shuma shemtoch ve'ya. Ein choshen la'aisha doesn't feel any mako. Still. V'hanami kibin sheyadua l'rofim she'ein derech chatzat edom lihivalid b'cheder ela b'klayos. Tolun ben ve'ein choshen la. So we are also by the Meraglayim that it's most common that this will come from somewhere else other than the Makar, so we're not choshish for it. Says the Rama in Darkei Moshe Oz Dalid, Utmehani alav bazeh. Tamrin v'gemara behedya delosam chinon adivrei rofim l'chud elu bi'inon gam kein bedika b'mayim boshrin. And look what happened over here. Beis Yosef challenges the Rama. He says, Ron, I don't understand why you need Raya's and you trust the doctor. It's enough in the Gemara. And he quotes the Gemara where the doctor say, Maka Yeshla, she probably has a Maka there, and that's why you have Chushin Adumin or whatever is coming out of her. Says Darkei Moshe, yeah, and then you got to read the next line of Gemara. Next line of the Gemara says they did a test and they didn't trust the doctors. So Beis Yosef is screaming, it's a Beferish Gemara, we trust doctors. Comes the Raman, Darkei Moshe, it's a Beferish Gemara that we don't trust the doctors. Because the Gemara says that we then did a test. Gemara behedi, he says, "Zolos samchina devei rofim l'chud." Elbin gam kein bedika b'mayim boshrin. He says this is explicit, and that's why v'im kein hutzrach aran l'kol anitamim kedei la'atira below bedika. That's why the Ran needed other reasons over there. So what are they arguing about? What are they arguing about? Beis Yosef left out that part of the Gemara. The entire theory of the Beis Yosef was based on the missing half, you know, of the Gemara. So apparently, the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe have very similar machlokas to the Rashi and the Chasam Sofer. What's this Gemara telling us? Is this Gemara telling us to trust doctors or not to trust doctors? The Rashi understands that it's telling us to trust doctors, and that's exactly how the Beis Yosef understands, and the Darkei Moshe understands telling us not to trust doctors, and that's the Chasam Sofer, not to trust doctors. The Marsham in a tshuva, couple of tshuvas, the Marsham Chelik Aleph Siman Yud Gimel quotes Knesset Yecheskel. There are a number of svarim called Knesset Yecheskel, like anyone who's named Yecheskel writes a sefer. Unless you know the Yehuda, they call it Knesset Yecheskel. But in tshuvas Knesset Yecheskel, Simanam Beis had a Kabbalah, that the doctors themselves are the ones that said to be Matil Mayim, because they themselves were Mesupak. But had they been certain, without telling you to be Matal B'mayim, then we would have relied on them. Meaning, says Marsham, Tel Sarash. Right? He had a Kabbalah. Where was that Kabbalah from? The Rishonim, apparently. You have to realize, not everyone had Tel Sarash. Right? So probably, the Chasam Sofer obviously didn't see the Tel Sarash. Right? So, because even if the Chasam Sofer would argue on the Rush, he would have at least acknowledged that the Rush answers the question, instead of saying, I have to give an answer because the Rush never did. Right, so you see that there is this level of ne'amanus. In fact, there are achronim that write that the tati l'mayim was a tosa defus, and those words don't belong in the Gemara. And the raya they bring is from the fact that the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi tell the same story and leave out those words in the Tosefta and in the Yerushalmi. So you know. When the Ramah is screaming at the Beis Yosef, hello, what about the rest of the words in the Gemara? The Beis Yosef might say, what rest of the words in the Gemara? There are no rest of the words in the Gemara. And the whole Tati L'mayim didn't exist. The doctor said it's a Maka, so it was a Maka, and the story, and that was it. And so it's very interesting, though, because the Gra on the Tosefta is Magia to add those words. Because in the Bavli, those words are added. So you can go in two ways, right? You have a discrepancy in the text over here of what happened. So the Gra makes this haga. I was listening to Rabbi Wiederblank. Rabbi Wiederblank said, I don't know where he saw this, that Chaim Belozner, Dafka took the words out of the Gemara based on the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi. And the Gra, ironically, Chaim Belozner's Rebbe, added the words in the Tosefta, which apparently was the dark of Shel HaGra. That was, he would like to do that. I was once listening to a shiur from someone, the person said that the whole shiur was to explain a girsa change that the Gra made in the Tosefta in Para. He gave a whole hour long shiur on one Mishnah in Para, and one Tosefta in Para, and one minor change that doesn't look like it makes any difference to explain why the Gra changed it. And the person giving the shiur said at the end, He said, I think I might be the first person since the Gra wrote it to understand what he was talking about. Yeah, might be the first one who cared.
Yeah. What if the doctors did the test themselves?
What? What if they did the test themselves?
They said, we ran all the tests and we said it's a mock-up. In other words, what's the significance of us doing the test versus them?
Because we didn't trust them. That's the significance.
Right, so the question, we don't trust their expertise or we don't trust their truth. Now, what if they say we also did the water test?
Okay, so good. So what is it that we don't trust? Well, let's get there. Okay. Pashtus is, we don't think that they're lying, but...
Do we have the Sora for this test, or the test came from the doctors? So even if we don't trust their expertise or their truth, we have to at least trust...
So Chasam Sofer will say, even if the doctors told us this is the test, that's a davar klali.
Right.
And that you can trust them in that. Yeah. Now, there are two issues over here, really, because, you know, up until now we've been talking about Jewish doctors, you know, doctors that have inherent ne'amanus, like you believe anybody. There is another issue, and that is, what about doctors who normally wouldn't have ne'amanus in halacha? You know, so we saw already here in Shulchan Aruch that makes a difference. I should add one more thing. A lot of the Chachmas HaRefuah obviously is based on trials and based on, you know, past patients and based on autopsies that are done on cadavers and things like that. The Chasam Sofer writes in a couple of places that he's not convinced, and based on the Gemara in Nida, in a couple of places, Daf Mem Hei, Daf Lam and Dalet, that Jews and non-Jews, that what's true anatomically of non-Jews is going to be a raya for a Jew, which is a very troubling thing. But what they really mean, and the Gemara pretty much says it explicitly, is not that we're made of different stuff, but that we put different stuff into us. Meaning, those who are ochlim shkatzim ramasim, those who have a different lifestyle and eat different things, might affect what's going to happen in their bodies. The Gemara also says those who are da'agi b'mitzvos, those who live a life where they're concerned about fulfilling mitzvos and avoiding averos, that and this is medically actually proven. I think someone wrote an article about this, that the city in Israel with the longest life expectancy, and it's not even really close, is Bnei Brak, which is wild, because like the idea of, you know, eating kale and, you know, kale smoothies or whatever, and you know, and gluten-free and, you know, all these other health trends has not reached Bnei Brak, you know, like it's still Kishka, you know, like and yet the life expectancy is the longest life expectancy in all of Israel, and you know, there have been other studies in other religious communities outside of the Jewish religion, where people who have a certain sense of purpose in their life and people who have a certain sense, da'agi b'mitzvos, Chazal say that it's not even so much that we're describing the value of Torah per se, but the value of the structure that a religious life will give a person has a health impact. It makes an impact on a person's health. So any such discussion is hard to apply to modern medicine, but just to be aware that discussion exists in based on Gemaras, and it exists in the Achronim. And there is, it's definitely true as far as health. Now, as far as particular ailments and, you know, whether, you know, in tests, whether you have those ailments or not, I don't know how much we're going to say that we assume that we're fundamentally biologically different, but as far as overall health, that's certainly the case. Right, there was, I think Malcolm Gladwell wrote one of his books. Am I the other Malcolm Gladwell fancy? Yeah. So I think in one of his books he wrote about the place somewhere in Asia, I think, that where people live like 5 years older than 5 years longer than they do in like the next longest living country. And he identified, if it wasn't Gladwell, it was someone like that, someone in that genre. I read all those books, but they identified what was unique, a number of things that were unique about the place, because it didn't seem their eating habits were any different. It wasn't that much that was different, but the culture was such that every day when a person woke up in the morning, they had to think to themselves, what's my goal for today? And that was the culture. That's how everyone woke up in the morning, with Modani Lefnecha, you know, like with a, what are my goals for today? And there was no word for retirement in their language. People worked until they died. You just work until you're done working, then you die. And that's also why, because very often people don't have purpose in life and they're not going to be as successful. Okay, but we'll get to that at a different time. Yeah.
Is the different shiur of chasim so fair? Doesn't that suggest that we could be mechalik between what like general like human physiology is for certain types of ailments versus like other types of conditions? Like it would allow for the possibility that cancer might be the same thing, but
yeah, I think that's probably medically true also, right? There are certainly certain diseases that we're more prone to than others. You know, I think that's probably medically true. What about doctors without any halach in their mother? So the most common case, the doctor identifies a maka as a cause of the blood, or he says he saw blood in the vaginal canal. He or she says that they saw blood in the vaginal canal. And the woman herself never saw any blood. Right? That happens also. The doctor says, "Oh, it's a little bloody in there," and the woman's like, "Oh, shut up! You know, like, I don't need you to tell me this. You know, I didn't see any blood, right?" So to what extent that's nemonos of a rofe l'chumra, right? So to what extent does the doctor have nemonos? So in general, there is a concept in Shas of umen lo marum nasei. That when someone is doing something for professional reasons, that we assume that they're going to try to have a reputation as being good at their job, that they are supposed to be a professional at. In Yerodeh and Simen Sadiches, for those, anyone learn Basel Chol Tarovis yet? Yerodeh. So there's this concept of Kfeila Arma'a, where if something is dependent on tam, so you need someone to taste it for you to let you know if the tam is there, and Svardim hold this way, La Halacha, that you could ask a Kfeila Arma'a, does it, what it tastes like? And there's machlokas, whether you need masiach lefitumo or just a professional chef, even if it's not masiach lefitumo, even if he's not just saying it, you know, matter of factly, but he's got a professional reputation to uphold, so he's going to give you an honest opinion. In Avodzar Daf Chav Zayin, Amin Aleph, both Rashi and Tosfos say that a rofe mumcha has this chazaka. They apply it to a rofe mumcha. That umen lo marum nasei. So that sounds pretty compelling, right? That rofe mumcha ovid kochavim, a non-Jew. That umen lo marum nasei. The problem is, if you look in that sugi, avod zara chav zayin, what's the kol learning that doing avod zara which tafim adin out there? So the context over there is about a non-Jew performing a mila. So it's a little bit different because the question is, can you trust him that he's not going to mutilate the baby? So umen lo marum nasei. He's not going to want to have the reputation as the doctor that decided to mutilate a baby. You know, but that's a little bit different than having that manus and describing a condition. But it does come up, the idea that even a rofe ovid chavim, we have this idea of uman lo marun umnase or lo maranafshe. In Simin Kufpe Zayin, our halacha, so we saw already that the Sefer HaTshuva says says not to trust the doctors, but the smag in the name of the Agos Paimonios, in the name of the Ritzba, im Amrla Rofish and Estrapes, you could trust him even though she's Mukhsekas to be Rodah Machmas Tashmish, but only a Jewish doctor. And that's based on Yerushalmi, that only a Jewish doctor, not a non Jewish doctor. Even if he's Mumchal Rabin, well, we might say Lomar Nafshe, because we say Asher PM Diber Shav, that they're speaking nonsense. So the Chassam Sofer in that Shuvah, in Yerodeh Beis, Kufnun Ches, is bothered because we find cases, it's a different Shuvah actually, we find cases where Goyim are believed. So the Chassam Sofer in Kufayin Hei also, Kufnun Hei and Kufayin Ches, those same Shuvahs, also discuss it. He says, you could trust a Jewish doctor, but Hagos Maimonius says not to trust a Goy. So ask Chassam Sofer, what about Umen Lomar Umnasei? What do you mean, don't trust a Goy? So he explains that in Yerodeya, in Siman Kufnun and Dalid, we discuss when you can go to a non-Jewish mialedes, or a non-Jewish doctor, and Shulchan Aruch says that even if the guy can have an excuse to defend himself if he's wrong, still we assume he's going to want to protect his medical reputation. Meaning, says Chassam Sofer, there is a strong svara that a doctor will take pride in his successes. And therefore, even if it's a kind of situation where he's not going to lose his license, he's not going to lose his reputation even, but he has the opportunity to enhance his reputation, that he's the guy that figured out how to cure damach mastashmish, so that's a point of great pride for a doctor, and his desire for pride in being able to do well will override his desire to be machshilas, right? So even though he has no nemanus and a guy is PM divershav and he doesn't care about our whole system or whatever, but he wants to have pride that he's going to be able to do a good job. So that's what Chassam Sofer says is the kasha nagos memonios, that it seems to be that's why we go to a non-Jewish doctor and we trust him. However, Chassam Sofer says, that's a kasha nagos memonios, but a kasha doesn't mean that you change the halacha. Meaning we have kasha sometimes, but it doesn't mean that the halacha is incorrect. Right, the Chassam Sofer writes, "Aval hacha lahamino al hispa arusa lomar sharipe azeh lom na'amin lo ki kein darkom lispar shurfasa bevade yitzliach lasmich olam al dibureyem ulbesob kishlo yam to dibureyem yitlu besivas davar ma." And he says, and probably the reason why we're not going to trust the guy, even though this is a good kasha and that goes my money, is because maybe it's not such a good kasha. Maybe a doctor will take pride and say, yeah, I cured it. And then when it turns out not to be cured, well, you probably didn't follow my instructions. Did you take the antibiotic for the full time, or when you started feeling better, you already said, oh, that's what it was, right? Meaning that they'll come up with some other explanation as to why it didn't work out. But a Jewish doctor, the Isser is something that he takes seriously, and he's therefore not going to take pride in this or make claims b'sheker. He doesn't want you relying on him b'sherkaris. As opposed to Akum, they're not concerned about this. Wow. So the Chassam Sofer is very suspicious, obviously, of doctors. So when it comes to a Jewish doctor, some sort of says, klali, not prati. When it comes to a non-Jewish doctor, forget about it. You can't trust anything, it's the aspire, he's just coming to... Good. How do we paskin? So first of all, when dealing particularly with non... And again, when we say non-Jewish over here, even though we recognize that non-Shomri Torah mitzvahs are every bit as Jewish as me and you or whatever, but when we say non-Jewish over here, we mean non-Shomri Torah mitzvahs. We mean people who don't care about the system, who aren't interested, and they think the whole Isra Nida thing is, we're a bunch of cavemen, and, the whole thing is just a silliness that we have. We're talking about people who are not Yirei Shemayim. So there are a few other factors to consider, and this is very Nogel Lamaisa when dealing with doctors who are not Yirei Shemayim, who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, or even just Amei Haaretz, doctors who are not well-versed in the halachic elements of the of whatever the shaila is. First of all, they won't get why you care, and they may try to figure out what you want them to say. Meaning that's what will make you happy. Oh, no blood? No blood's good? Okay, there was no blood, right? That kind of thing. Second of all, it's also important to keep in mind, because obviously it makes no medical, if it's something that makes no medical difference, so like, they'll tell you whatever will make the patient happy. Second of all, it's also important to keep in mind that they might have different definitions of things. So what they call blood, we might not call blood. So in that case, where the doctor's saying, oh, I saw a little bit of blood in there, and the woman's like, stop, don't tell me. Well, he might call blood, some brown that he saw in there, he might call blood, which we wouldn't call blood. They may say that the blood is non-menstrual bleeding. And that may mean dam in a makar that didn't come out as part of her normal menstrual cycle. That something else, it was dam machmas ones, which we all just need the daraisa. So you have to be very careful about the definitions, the terms that doctors use. You have to make sure you're speaking. It's just like in Shiduchin, right? Rav Shachter said that he once got a call from someone asking, father of a girl, asking, is this guy that my daughter's dating, is he a Talmud Chacham? So Rav Shechter said, I thought to myself, I don't think your rabbi is a Talmud Chacham. but for you, a Talmud Chacham means someone who can read Chumash with Rashi. Yeah, the boy can read Chumash with Rashi. So I said, he's a Talmud Chacham. Now you think about how that story probably ended. The guy probably went around bragging, Rav Shechter said, my son was a Talmud Chacham. So that's a second thing to keep in mind. A third thing to keep in mind is that doctors tend to be super cautious in a litigious society. And that is, particularly when it comes to Yom Kippur. Like, why would a doctor of a pregnant woman, why would an OBGYN tell a pregnant woman to fast? Of course he's going to say not to fast, because nothing good could come out of fasting, right, medically. And even if there's like a tiny, tiny chance that she's not going to be feeling well afterwards, what does he need that for? He doesn't need it, so doctors are very, and then what, if she miscarries a week later and she's going to blame it on this, he doesn't need that. So doctors tend to be overly cautious. There's a guy, Davins in my shul, Dr. Victor Rosenberg, who's a high-risk OB, so he only deals with high-risk patients, and he insists, he tells me that there's, in a regular pregnancy, in a normal case, there is no reason why a woman should not be able to fast on Yom Kippur. He said that all the research that's been done in Israel says that there's no reason that she shouldn't be able to fast on Yom Kippur. But of course, doctors will always say that she shouldn't fast, because why would they? If you're dealing with the non-shomer Torah mitzvahs, like why would they do? Why wouldn't they say it? And Bir Alacha makes this point in some Tov Reishit Ches Nilchus Yom Kippurim. He writes that they're always calling things a sakana. And he says, "Deshafki l'ne'emanusa." They've already abandoned their ne'emanus. "Delekol cholikal omrim tamid shekshiyisani yistakeh." Any common cold, they say, it's going to be dangerous if the person fasts. "Gam le'inyin rofa Yisrael sharbeim chashud demavar al divrei Torah l'chal Shabbos." "Gam heim eino mis'ana mitzad afkirusa tzorchin rav miyesh l'smachaleihen." I don't know why it's tzorchin rav. But Bir Alacha says that, I don't know that you can even trust non-religious Jews. I don't know, I find that they're just as bad as Goyim as far as this is concerned. I don't think you can trust them. You have to really find out what you can't just trust them blindly. You have to have the conversation. And you just have to push a little bit. Like, worst case scenario, you have to say the words, is there a chance that this person will die from this? Is there a chance that this person will become so ill that they're going to have to be rushed to the emergency room, that there's going to be that there's going to be a threat of death that goes, now, not necessarily die from this, maybe now's not the time to discuss Hilchos Yom Kippur, but just a detail, that the doctor will often say, they won't die from this, because we live in 21st century America. You'll get them to a hospital, they'll put them on an IV, and they'll get them medicated, and they'll survive. But if fasting, let's say, would make it get to that point, where then not treating them would cause them to die, that's also sakana, right? We don't have to wait to get to the point where we'll then need to do the treatment. So you have to be very careful. This is what we're talking about, definitions. Because even when you're pushing, if you say, will they die from this, the answer will be no. Yeah, but why not? They won't die because, of course, they'll go to the hospital and they'll be saved. That's called sakana. If you need to be saved, that's called sakana also. All right, so that's why, just things to keep in mind. Now, Rav Moshe tries to give some hadracha on this. Rav Moshe in Yoredei Chelek Dalet Simen Yud Zayin Os Yud Zayin is in the famous eighth volume of Igros Moshe, but this tshuva was printed in pieces by Rabbi Eider Zichrono Levracha, a musmach of our yeshiva, I think. I don't know if he's a musmach, but a graduate of our yeshiva. Yeah, he might have gotten smicha in Lakewood. Who was saying it recently? Rabbi Rakefet, I think, was saying that Rabbi Eider hated the fact that he went to YU. He hated YU so much. But he was a big posek in Lakewood. Rabbi Hecht told me that Rabbi Eider was the most inspirational Talmud in our yeshiva when he was here. He said, because he wasn't particularly bright. He wasn't, one of these, but he was such a masmid. Such a masmid. He said he became like the biggest posek in Lakewood. Like, and like for real, not like, meaning he was worthy of that. Through hard work. He was just such an incredible master. So anyway, Rabbi Eider had many great contributions to the Jewish people. One of them was that he was the first one to write really well in English, in terms of halacha in English, with Hebrew footnotes, because that was Rav Moshe's instruction. But as part of that project, he sent these long shilas to Rav Moshe with, like, you know, lists of 50 shilas, and Rav Moshe wrote back, answering all, you know, as much as Rav Neubert's greatest contribution may not have been the actual writing of Shmir Shabbos Hilchos Shabbos, but it's to get Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak on everything in Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbi Eider got Rav Moshe's psak on everything because he wrote the... So in these long tshuva that Rav Moshe writes back to Rabbi Eider, he discusses ne'amanos of doctors, and Rav Moshe fundamentally accepts, like some sofer, that it's a limited ne'amanos, but he says that you can accept the doctor's claim that Dan comes from a Makkah if any of the following conditions are met. And he doesn't say this super duper clearly, but we'll try to say it clearly. First of all, he says, if the doctor actually sees the wound. Now, there's a big difference between the doctor telling you that the wound is there, because I know that it must be, or I'm estimating, I'm guessing it probably is, versus the doctor actually seeing the wound. Nowadays, it's obviously much more common for a doctor to see the wound than it used to be. For example, she sees blood on a bedika, and the doctor uses a speculum and sees a makkah. So he's believed, even if he's not Jewish, because umen lomar umnasi bekach. He's not going to say, I see something there, when it's not there. Second, Rav Moshe says, if he doesn't see it, and he's speculating based on her descriptions, like a makkah shebemakor, which is almost impossible for him to see without really specialized equipment, so Rav Moshe says, then you cannot believe the doctor unless you know that there is a makkah. You're just not sure if it's motzidam. Meaning, if you're at the point where you know that there's a makkah b'makar, because she feels something, she's just not sure if it's motzidam or not, then the doctor could be believed to say that it's motzidam, but he wouldn't be believed to say that there's a makkah b'makar in the first place. And third, he says, a case where you could believe the doctors is if the doctor predicted the bleeding and said it will be dam makkah, and he predicted it in advance, then when it happens, you can assume that that's his prediction coming true. Right? That's what Rav Moshe writes. Meaning the case in Igros Moshe was, if I'm not mistaken, was a case where the doctor said, in 10 days from now, you're going to bleed. In about 10 days from now, you're going to bleed, and it's not Maka. And 8 days later, she started bleeding. Right? So in that case, Rav Moshe said, yeah, if he predicted it, so then you know, he had no reason to say that would happen other than what he says it is. Probably the most skeptical of all of the poskim about Divrei Arofim, other than the Chassam Sofer, is Rav Kook. Rav Kook in the Tshuva in Das Kohen in Simkuf Mem. Now, when you read Rav Kook's Svarim, they're very, very difficult to understand. He writes with a lot of Kabbalah and a lot of very flowery language. His tshuvas are like straight, classic tshuvas. There's no, like, you know, it's not dripping with Kabbalah and Eretz Yisrael and whatever. It's just like regular tshuvas, like a posek would write. So Rav Kook writes that im nachlit shedivrei rofim im machzikim esleni kevada. He says al bemes nira shedivrei bechal anu machzikim rak l'safek. Anything that a doctor says, we treat only like a safek. He says very often they'll come up with an idea that is medically accepted by the medical community, and everyone thinks that it's absolutely true. And then another generation will come, they'll say, yeah, all of that was pseudoscience. Three months ago it was healthy to vape. Now it's killing you. I mean, it didn't take a genius to figure out, right, that if like a shot glass of the stuff would kill you, then probably taking it in vape form is also going to kill you. But meaning that things change. So everything they say has a din suffix. Why is Rav Kook going wild on this? What was the context of his shayla? So the shayla Rav Kook is dealing with was mitzitza. Not whether you should do it, but whether it should be done on Shabbos. Because it's really an issur d'oraisa of chil Shabbos. And the only reason you're allowed to do it is because of the sakana to the baby. So they asked Rav Kook, we asked all the doctors, there's no sakana not to do mitzitza. So why are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? He says, because tomorrow the doctors will tell you that it is a sakana. And everything they say is only a safek. And he says, I'll bring you a raya from Divrei Chazal. Obakamadav pehe. Verapo yirape mikan. That a doctor has the rishus to be merape. He says, "Ikra rfuah mitzad chachmasa musupekasi." That's a raya that everything's a suffix. Why? Shem hayadavar barur. Because if rfuah was a davar barur, echial aladash shelo yemuchayiv l'rapos. How could there be a half meaning that a doctor is not going to cure? There's nisra in the Torah. L'sav l'davar echa. That if someone is dying and you can help, you have to help them. Elamai, you don't know that you can help. You only have a suffix. That's why I need a pasuk in the Torah. Shenitin Rishos Rofei L'Rabos. That's what Cook's Raya.
Seems a little funny. You could say the same for Halacha. You know, I'll go to the Rav and tomorrow he can, you know, come back and I'll give it.
So the difference is, when it comes to Halacha, it was true. Right? Meaning, El Divrei Elokim Chayim is such that the original pasuk was true as well. So essentially, there are three schools of thought, just to summarize what we did. There's Chassam Sofer. Now, Ne'emanus on specific cases are suffix, but in general, Mitzius, then we actually accept the Ne'emanus. There's the Radvaz and Maram Lublin that it's considered like a rove, so you should try to be Mevarer whenever you can. That was Chassam Sofer quoted that before he rejected it. That we, whenever you have the ability to be Mevarer, you should. And then the Beis Yosef and the Tosar Rash, that they're believed, Betoras Vadai. It could be significant nafkaminas, obviously, between these approaches. Your Mechal Shabbos, even on the suffix. What if a doctor tells you that it's not Pikuach Nefesh? Right? The doctor says not Pikuach Nefesh. So, but you think it is. So, if you hold back the Chassam Sofer, still be Mechal Shabbos, because whatever the doctor tells you about this case, he's not Ne'eman on. If you hold, like the Radvaz Maram Lublin, that it's like a rove, and therefore you need to be mevarer in holchim b'pikuach nefesh achar rov. But if you hold like the Tosa Rush, they're believed, b'toras vadai. So the doctor says, not dangerous, male, it's not dangerous. And you wouldn't be able to do mechal Shabbos. Another nafkamina, by isurim we follow rov. Right? So when it comes to regular isur, according to the Radvaz and according to the Beis Yosef / Tosa Rush, you would believe them. But you'd believe the doctors. But according to the Chassam Sofer, if it's about this specific case, then you wouldn't believe them at all. Okay, so that's a little bit about Ne'emanus HaRov. Let's keep it in mind as we go forward in Kof Peches and Kof Tzadi, it's going to come up again.
Doesn't that Tosfos HaRosh bring back a conversation we had a few weeks ago about the question of reality versus guidelines? Doctor doesn't get it, but doctor doesn't. So
it's one thing when it comes to halacha where you know that, you know, or it comes to a metzius that you know that this meat came from a chazer or something.
Right.
It's another thing when you're making a medical condition just because you don't feel good. So there is such a concept that, that you know maris nafshe, that a person knows his own body better than anybody else, but it's unclear that we can rely on that, you know, when the doctor's telling you that you're nuts, you know, that there's nothing wrong with you and that you're... And that you're over dramatizing the situation. Okay, let's do a little.